The cannabis industry is expected to grow from $150 million in 2018 to over $57 billion by the year 2027. This is a ground floor opportunity, and Greenflower has a free ebook showing the 500 best jobs available in this huge expanding market. Click the link below to learn more and to get your free copy.
Well, we know that charities are fronts for all this stuff. Not all of them, but a lot of them. And they use them for that purpose.
Yeah.
And that's part of the awakening, is learning that you're being tricked on so many levels. And it's a hard thing to wake up to, because it's painful to learn that it's like almost being someone doing a divorce, you know, someone you thought that loved you no longer loves you. It's a hard thing.
Yeah.
And so we have a lot of people that just will not wake up. So do you think there's a point where, I mean, has Q done that service, or just has done the service with the people who are already in the truth movement, who already were digging and looking?
So that's a multi-pronged question, because Q has woken up a lot of new people. I think the reason is that for the first time in my living memory, the truther community, and Alex Jones never did this. He never tried to really organize and get results. But Q has, by asking the right questions, created this community, this culture of kind of like a band of brothers. People are more galvanized, they're more organized, they're actually working together. They're having fun with it now for the first time. It's no longer this being an island alone of depression and just knowing the truth and you can't help anybody. That's where many of us were before. I mean, I was a nihilist. I'd given up before Trump won and before Q happened. And then this happens.
I can understand. Yeah. Go ahead.
No, we're all together now, and we're a community, and they've engaged in mimetic warfare, which is the most effective type of convincing. Because you're using, you know, these infographics, you're using these really catchy things, and you're spreading the truth. And Q has created this counterbalance to the MSM's lies. And that community is going to continue to grow. It's called the Great Awakening for a reason, I think.
Well, I had Michelle White Dove on. I'm going to air that next week. And I just talked to her. And she is the most tested medium in the world. I don't know if you believe in all that stuff, but she has solved murder crime. She's done all these things, all these different tests that she's done to show that she's really can see stuff. And she, all the major media channels had her on, and she's pretty incredible. But she's been talking about the deep state, the shadow government, and just going on about this. And I finally asked her, I'm like, what is the point of what I'm doing and others like me? Because you do get to the point where you're like, why am I risking everything and risking my credibility and risking my career and to do this? I feel so drawn to this. And she goes, oh dear, you know, she's like, this is making a huge difference. You guys are so critical, and you're making a huge difference, and it matters, and it will matter. And, you know, I don't know if you believe in that stuff or not, but she's the most tested one out there, and she does. And it was really nice to hear someone like that say that what we're doing is significant, and it will make a difference to the future, because we're waking people up and helping them see and learn things. And to me, it's because you do get to that point, even doing what I'm doing, because I hear so many bad things. I'm like, oh my God, I'm hearing this. What am I doing? Just sharing it with people? You know, this child abuse and the stuff that I hear that's just awful. You know, I'm behind the scenes. I'm trying to get some actual activities going and businesses and different things, because I have to. I can't learn about this and not use my entrepreneurial background to get some stuff going. But at the same point, you're like, well, I feel like I'm a grain of salt, but, you know, a grain of sand. And she was just really clear about how it is making a difference. So maybe that'll help you as well.
You know, I've never actually heard of her. I don't really follow that stuff much. And I believe that everything is energy and everything's connected, and there's things we can't explain. Absolutely. But you don't even have to be a clairvoyant to know, to see these patterns, to see that we have changed everything. We've beaten globalism. I mean, it's dying. It's dead. It's done. The MSM fake news. I mean, just think of the Overton window. A couple years ago, no one knew what fake news was, really, except to truthers. And then now everyone knows about fake news, and now everyone knows the term.
Everybody questions it.
Everyone. Yeah. you know, even people on the left often think that the MSM is lying for their agenda. So hashtag walk away. Yeah, there's the people on the left, which not even the left. There's a minority of the left, which are the extreme radical left, which are the selfish people. I see it as sort of an alliance between the psychopaths at the top manipulating people and the sociopaths on the bottom that are a little bit more obvious about their evil, like the Antifa types. You know, they're incredibly selfish. They're actually quite racist. They keep yelling at black cops who disagree with their position, but then they accuse everyone else. They project of everything that they're doing. And these sort of tricks work on people who don't understand logical fallacies and projection, because if you're a good-hearted person, you know, and this person's always talking about, you know, we got to fight racism and everything else, you're like, well, yeah, that makes sense. Until you realize they're the most racist, evil person that you know, and they're doing everything that they're saying we should not do. But they're using their words to, you know, if you go back in like in history and stuff, they would talk about words as casting of spells. And that's exactly what they're doing. They're casting the spell of lies and deception using their words, using their sophistry. To trick good-hearted people who don't often look behind the curtain. And when you look behind the curtain, like you're saying, there's a price to pay for the knowledge that you get. There's a cost to this stuff. And we have to deal with that because, you know, no one else will. But, you know, I see the Great Awakening is full steam ahead, and I am very optimistic about the future. I think it's all coming down.
Do you want to save some serious money? Learn how a simple gadget can double your gas mileage while creating less pollution. The simple gadget does all of this while giving your car more power and longer engine life. Learn more with the link below.
When do you think the child abuse stuff will come down? We know that the very top are Luciferians. That has been proven to me without a doubt now. I didn't believe it for a while, and then I started sort of believing it, and then I was like more skeptical on the fence about it, and then I didn't want to believe it and kind of believed it. Now I 100% believe it. You know, it's a process because I don't want to believe it, but now it's been 100% proven to me for a while. That is the core of evil, I think. It's destroying communities. It's destroying people's lives. It destroys everyone that comes in contact with it because it's so evil. When do you think that... At the very top, when do you think that snaky head will get cut off?
You know, I have no problem when I disagree with Q making a point of it. He said early on 80-20, you know, 20% public, 80% private. And then we kind of convinced him to go 60-40. But I suspect, and I hope I'm wrong, and I want to be wrong, that this is going to be the kind of stuff that you'll have to choose to know. This will come out in the truther side of things. But it'll never be in the MSM. I mean, not the full load of it. I don't think the normal people will get it because I think it'll lead to too much chaos. And I think Q is trying to disclose what he can and minimize human suffering as a whole. I mean, there's certain things that would lead to war because foreign leaders were involved. There's certain things that would lead to a massive breakdown of society, possibly. And I think 100% truth and just, you know, truth will out, though the heavens may fall. I don't care. I want everything to be known, and people who can't handle it just need to learn. We're a very adaptive species, and if we don't, I think that this is going to repeat itself in the future. But I think all of those people are going to have mysterious suicides. They're going to have, you know, they're going to be arrested for tax crimes or sexual harassment or things like that, and they're going to go down either way. But I don't necessarily know we'll ever get to the bottom on a mainstream level of all of the occult stuff, you know, the Bohemian Grove stuff, look at Anderson Cooper's mom, Gloria Vanderbilt, and the freaking, you know, the picture of them on the bed with her and behind them while she's like reading a book to them behind them. They have this a shrine to Tanit, which is like a blood sacrifice god or goddess with a little shrine, like an altar where a man's being burnt alive, things like that. It's all in their symbolism. It's all in their art and their, you know, their little way of, I call it vice signaling to each other instead of virtue signaling, but they have symbols. That's the language of the wise, the language of the learned. And that doesn't mean good or evil. It just means people who know what the hell's going on. They use symbology. They use word games. They use gematria, things like that to communicate and to to maintain plausible deniability. And I equate that for people who don't understand all of the symbols and stuff. It's like when somebody's trying to buy marijuana on a low level, they say, I want to get some herb or I want to get some flower. They don't say, I want to buy marijuana because they don't want to get arrested. It's the same thing when they're doing all of these symbols with their pizza boxes and their, you know, different businesses and ventures and fronts. And, you know, now we see dentist offices and voodoo donuts, things like that. So.
Well, I think that you're right, unfortunately. I don't want you to be right either, because I don't want more innocent children killed or abused because people are afraid to hurt and to traumatize others, because this poor adult is going to be fragile. And meanwhile, we'll let these children suffer because these poor adults are going to, it's too hard for them. Mm-hmm. I don't think that's acceptable. And so I'm to the point where I don't care anymore if they're traumatized, because we got to save these guys. Now, if you can save all of them and keep the fragile ones from being traumatized, fine. But if you can't, and I'm not sure if we can, then the fragile ones are going to, it's too bad, because we got to save the kids. That's where I'm at. And I don't think there's any compromise on that.
Yeah, and all that's required for evil to win is that good people do nothing. And it, to another extent of that, people who don't want to see evil, they're the cause of most of it. It's not these bad guys, these psychopaths with all their billions of dollars. I mean, they're the culprits. They're the ones initiating the evil. But the real root cause is those who refuse to see it. Because if they saw it and they opened their eyes, it would be done overnight.
It would be overnight, because the pitchforks would come out. You know, it's a good example is there was a girl locally here that was in a hotel held by a trafficker. They called the police. The police couldn't respond. And I don't know if they were involved or whatever. And then they called two different trafficking charity volunteer organizations. They came in droves, circled the hotel, and saved the girl. That's an example of when people stand up, rise together, it would end. It would end. And that's an example of how it did. But that would happen in mass.
Mm-hmm. This is why I'm a voluntarist. I used to be a limited government, Ron Paul era-esque constitutionalist guy. And actually, Ron Paul is a voluntarist, too. And so is Judge Napolitano. But I switched from believing in limited small government to believing that no government is possible, because no man can be trusted with power over another man. That's my personal stance. I know most of my viewers are pro-government folks, but you know, I don't think that you can ever have a power monopoly, a monopoly on violence and force that will not become corrupted eventually. I mean, you can have the best government in the world, which is a good king, a good monarchy, but then his son might be an evil monster.
Oh,
and
sure.
Then you've switched.
Yeah,
so,
you can't. Yeah.
Yeah. So any kind of concentration of power, that's why I'm a free market person. Like, you can have privatized police stations, and then you'll have competing different agencies trying to earn your money by doing a good job. And then it'd be a lot more difficult for them to get involved with these human traffickers and being part of the drug dealing and being part of the human trafficking and then therefore suppressing it and arresting people that are telling the truth about it. And this kind of crap would not be possible.
Well, I believe in, you know, the whole limited government. I believe in cooperation at the lowest levels. We do need to have cooperations amongst people for certain activities. And, you know, and I haven't, it's all theoretical at this point because it's not happening anytime soon. Maybe it will. But there has to be cooperation, like money or certain things. We all have to decide that if we're going to use a cryptocurrency, that we're going to value it and it's going to work. So there has to be a certain amount of things that we're, or even defense, if we're going to defend a certain area or whatever. There has to be a collective of cooperation at some level. Yeah. And we have to decide that that's okay. And in some ways, that's considered limited government. Free market, I believe in free market 100%, because I know that's the I've studied it. I know that's the most ethical. Whatever brings the most ethical environment where most people can flourish is what I want. And where people who are in bad situations have a way out, and they have the freedom out, right? And that's what we all try to strive for. And where how do you get there? But the free market, there are some flaws in that, like a prison. Who's the customer? you know, is the prisoner the customer? Well, the prisoner isn't really, you know, I mean, there's some issues where the free market doesn't always work 100%. And so that's where there has to be a cooperation type rule. But that's what I believe. And but again, it's about how do we drive it to the lowest level? How do we have the max amount of freedom? And how do we have the most amount of people thriving? That's well, where I'm at.
We agree. I mean, we agree that less government is better. The founding fathers went 95% of the way and they made this tiny little restrained government, which eventually grew into what we have now. I would even argue that everything that the government does, for example, defense, you know, like a military, how are we improving our military situation at defending our nation if we give half that money to the government first and then they give half of it to the military?
It's totally out of control.
Yeah,
it's
we could
completely.
The military. Without a government, we would have double the military.
But let's say we have a space program or something. I mean, you can't do something without cooperation. Like each individual person couldn't have their own space program because you don't have enough resources. No. You know, I mean, there's cooperation that you end up having to have at some level. And whatever you want to call that, it doesn't necessarily have to be government. But
well, does it require force is the question. Because if it does not require force, then it's just free market cooperation through voluntary interaction and stuff. I mean, I don't want to go too deep into it.
No, I don't. Well, and it's all theoretical at some point anyways, because if we actually had that wonderful opportunity to recreate it and make it so much freer than and get rid of the fascist monopolies and all these other things that are in place, then it would be what a wonderful thing for us to debate about the limits of government, you know? But reality would set in and there'd be people way on the other side and we would be just trying to limit something that was pretty extreme in the other direction. So us debating the details on art is not.
Yeah. I just like to bring it up. I like to bring it up for the, because you mentioned the fascist corporations and stuff. And this is, in my opinion, the solution to the problems that we see within a capitalist government. I don't even think capitalism and free market is compatible with government because the government keeps messing with it and then creating these monopolies like Google that then have too much power and then they can manipulate things and then people will blame capitalism for cronyism, you know?
Well, and governments are meant to keep monopolies from happening, not build monopolies. That's what, because monopolies could form in a free market just left alone. But
it'd be really difficult though. It'd be virtually, I mean, theoretically, like if there's like one place on Earth where you can mine this particular mineral and then they have that and then they could monopolize it, maybe. But a monopoly formed in a free market would be based on bringing value to people rather than using force to suppress competition.
If you didn't have the ability for that really powerful company to then control government and control people and those laws were actually maintained, then it would be very difficult. But that's they have the money to create corruption. And I think that's where the monopolies come from. But it's all theoretical to a certain degree, but I think we could break down a lot of these fascist situations that we have. And I agree with you that our government is creating these monopolies. And it's very well documented, like with AT&T back in the day, how the government was very much in bed with AT&T. And what it does is it stifles technology innovation, like our energy sector. Because we have the petrodollar, we are really stifling innovation because free energy is already, I mean, there's so many different things and studies and patents out there of working solutions of very inexpensive or even free energy that is not allowed to go forward because we got to preserve the dollar.
Yeah, I mean, I'm with you there. And I think that I could talk about this topic forever. I love to talk about the philosophy and the theory behind all of this stuff. And there are some real world examples of it working people don't often go to. But just I would ask people this and then I'll stop talking about voluntarism. Name one country where or one nation in history where the government didn't become corrupt, didn't become oppressive, didn't help the monopolies, you know, things like that. That's the thing. It's the part of the problem, I think, rather than the
it
solution.
It is. It's a cycle of government. It starts off small. But I'm wondering if volunteerism would then develop into the next cycle, too. You know, it would maybe be the first step. And then it'd go up as people start feeling that it. I mean, the natural. I mean, because you'd have to have a lot of rules in place to keep volunteerism to work,
well,
too.
just natural rights, you know, the same kind of stuff we talked about in the Bill of Rights. Natural rights is something so simple that everyone could follow them. You know, any law that's significantly complex is no law at all.
So the question is, would a bunch of corrupt, you know, the psychopaths are always around. We have to deal with them. Would they be able to garner enough power to screw it up?
They would try.
I know. And would it work in any large thing?
There's an argument called, wouldn't the warlords take over? This is a common argument against a stateless society. And Mises.org has a really great breakdown about how that would be very, very difficult to actually happen in reality. Kind of like monopolies could form. If they did form, it wouldn't be that bad because there's no government to buy out. But it'd be difficult for them to form. It'd be really difficult for warlords to take over as well.
As long as the laws, we could make sure the laws were enforced.
Yeah.
Natural rights.
They've done one example that I know of in the U.S. where this neighborhood privatized the police and they had 400% better results. It was that much cheaper and better.
Oh, I'm sure. Yeah.
Yeah.
Although I'm pretty impressed with my local police force. A lot of them, a couple things happened that I'm not impressed with, but the majority of them are better than almost any city around, and they're talking to people and they're so polite and great. So you can get anomalies here and there, but in general, you're absolutely right. Like the girl that was in the hotel and the police didn't flip and come. The hell was that?
Well, you'd have the same people that are defending us from other in the army and military, the same people that are protecting the streets would still be doing those jobs without state. They would just have twice the money because the bureaucrats wouldn't be keeping half of it.
Well,
so I think they'd be more well paid, better, you know, better quality of life, things like that.
We have big problems.
Yeah. So these people at the top, like the Feinsteins and others that come out of public service, multi-millionaires, there's a reason for that. And it's because this system has become so corrupt at the top, and it's getting top heavy. It's falling, and it's inevitable. It's a mathematical certainty. I don't know what's next, but
yeah, it's sitting on a pinhead.
Yeah,
right. That's what it feels
basically,
like. I mean, 21 or 22 trillion missing just out of two departments. That's just crazy, you know. And there's more. There's much more missing. But they started hiding all those numbers because it was all provable with government documents, and now you can't find them anymore.
Mm-hmm.
They purposely hid that stuff. And so it's so against what this whole country was originally founded on. We've moved to this complete censorship. Everything is top secret national security state. And, you know, they call it a police state, but we're at a scary level, I think.
Secrets are power, and power corrupts.
Where do you think this is going to end? Are we going to have a war? Are we going to have, is there going to be a revolutionary war? Is there going to be a soft war like this?
I think the war has been won already, honestly. I think QAnon and Trump represented the worst of it. People have died. You know, look at all the military plane crashes and things like that. You just don't hear about it. And it's not part of the MSM narrative. But we know stuff is going on behind the scenes. I mean, there was that Rothschild estate thing. I mean, we've taken out some of the bad guys too. But down the road, I think that financially there has to be a reset. I think it's inevitable after 100 plus years of distortion in the markets and all this manipulation. The petrodollar is officially dead. Other countries are moving away from it. We just haven't caught on yet. I did a really great interview with Lynette Zhang yesterday, but the cliff is coming. And I think Trump knows this. I think he's preparing for a reset of some kind. Obviously, his executive order could seize a lot of assets and do some good. But the dollar is dead. The fiat currencies around the world are dying. And I think we're going to go back to something else, maybe a gold, silver standard, some kind of combination of cryptocurrencies and gold. They're all going to benefit from this.
Well, if he had the power to do what he wants and he can get those assets back, we can use all those assets, whether it's underground banks, it's the stolen $22 trillion, there's probably $100 trillion, use that as collateral, reset the dollar using that as collateral, and get us out of debt and redo the Federal Reserve. We could set us up for a couple hundred years. That's a solution that could work. Depends on if he has that power.
I don't know that the trillions of dollars are going to do us much good if we're not the reserve currency of the world, and if dollars are imploding in their value.
Well, no, you'd still have to reset. You'd still have to do something about the dollar, but you would have that collateral as backing. Because if there isn't any gold, you need the collateral to back
that. Yeah, we have no gold. We have no silver. And the Western nations don't even think it's worth anything.
And we can use that as collateral, all this missing. I mean, if they can get that back and use that as collateral, then we're in a position of strength. If we don't have any collateral, then we're not in a position of strength anymore.
Yeah. Well, I think we'll do – because of the dollar, it could be worse for us or it could be better for us, because the dollar, all of these dollars are going to come back to the U.S. at some point, and we're going to have hyperinflation. But we have probably the most, you know, one of the most intelligent workforces out there. We're one of the most, if not the most innovative nation in the world. We will figure this out. We're just going to have to go through a period of winter. And that's natural.
I agree with you. If we just say, let's figure this shit out, guys. And but you got to get those corrupt psychopaths out of the process, because they're more interested in the global, their global assets than they are in the U.S. assets.
Yeah, they don't care. I even think that they had a plan basically to set China and U.S. against each other while they hung out in Australia. But, you know, they're all about the depopulation and stuff. I don't think we're going to go to war, though. I think Trump kind of knows about this. I think I imagine that Putin and Xi are in on it too. They probably know what's really going on. They can see, they can read the tea leaves here. They know what's going on behind the scenes. They know about QAnon. They know that there's an internal civil war within our government, a soft war, with some people dying, but more or less this is a war of influence and narratives.
But you think we've already won, even though the worst of the worst are still in power of abusing children.
I think that, you know, the human trafficking thing is bigger money than even the drug trade.
Mm-hmm.
It is, and you don't hear about it very often, except on like maybe local media or through someone like us. It is massive. But Q has told us that there's only a few countries left where they're not actively working to cut the supply of children off, like Yemen and a few others. The behind the scenes, that stuff is being cut off.
The average price for a child in the world is $90. Did you know that?
No.
Me and my husband sat about it. I'm like, gosh, you'd almost want to spend 10 grand just to buy a bunch of kids and set them free. But then all we would do is be supporting the whole bullshit. But anyways, that's a side track.
I read recently in the UK, this one girl was raped by over 100 men before she was 16 years old. And they called it like sexual harassment, or it was something stupid. It was not really that at all. And the police are over there basically involved in it. And they can't, you know, they're having difficulty like talking about it. You know, they get
what country again did you say?
The UK. I mean, the police and the child group gangs, they're just in bed with each other. It's so corrupt. So I think that it is being shut down behind the scenes. And I think Trump's a master at the art of war. And you don't even go into battle until you've already won. I think that they had everything from the day that Trump was elected and maybe before that. I think this all was. And look at how we've stayed ahead of them every step of the way. QAnon has gamed them every step of the way. He gives them rope, they hang themselves, and then he comes out and just destroys them. I imagine Alex Jones is about to be destroyed because Q has been hinting and building, and then he called him Assad. And now what's the proof is going to come out next. Q is going to drop the heavy proof on Alex Jones, just as one example.
I hope so, because and you probably know this stat, but over 50% of the kids in the child welfare system are abused, not by their parents, but in the system. So we have some problems that we need to take care of. And like you said, if everybody knew about it, it'd be taken care of overnight. Then we have trauma that we have to deal with for their lives. And so and it keeps growing. Every year the problem gets bigger because those traumatized kids have kids and then they traumatize it. It's this ongoing thing. It's been happening for generations. And so the problem here in this country is absolutely enormous. And so we have a problem that needs to stop. The floodgates need to close. And I'm hoping they're closing those floodgates. They're putting a dam up so at least we can deal with the problem that exists now.
The trend is good. As far as how to deal with all the damage done, I don't even know. I also focus on the holistic health stuff, and I try to teach people how to make their own very high impact, low cost things. And that can help people to start to take back their health from big pharma. But, you know, the psychological damage is all we can do there is just try to help the people that can be helped and, you know, don't support those others with welfare and things like that. I mean, you're creating problems when certain people that don't want to be better people are using the system and getting subsidized.
Yeah, that's not what we're talking about. Those people are just as, but I've talked to different therapists and psychologists that, you know, the younger children, there's methods to reconnect their brains and rewire their brains to deal with that trauma. You have to bring them back to the trauma. You have to they know how to do it now. The better ones, right? The ones who are really in tune and figuring it out. Right. They're starting to figure out how to do all this stuff, but it takes people listening and dedicated, and it takes an effort by a caring group, a community of caring people. But I got to have you on at some point to talk about all these health protocols and things that you are doing to try to get people back on. You know, I do a lot of those shows too, but you're really focused on it. So I'd like to talk to you a little bit about, I mean, you're even making your own C60 and you're doing all these things. So I want to talk about what you're doing on that front, because it's so important. It's so critical, right? I mean, if you don't have your physical health, it's really hard to do anything else.
The mind and the body and the spirit, they're all connected. You can't have a healthy mind and a sick body.
So what is up with you now? Your channel is just growing leaps and bounds. Alex Jones did you a favor, I think, as far as like...
He messed up.
Yeah, I mean, he just like, I was looking at you. We were talking to you before that happened, and then it happened. And then I'm like, wow, he just, good timing. Because we were talking about, you know, doing, and he helped your channel a lot. You're growing. What are your goals? What do you want to do?
I think that Alex responded to me because of what Q did. I don't think Alex cares who I am. I'm just a little YouTuber. But after Q kind of, I guess, reshared or verified me, people are saying I'm now Q legit or something. I don't know. But I think Alex was just trying to attack me. And you know, all of his associates seem to be attacking Q like 8 hours a day. And they're just, they really have a aggression for QAnon, even though they keep calling it fake and everything else. But my goals have been to spread health, keep people informed on what's going on, get them ready for the financial reset, and try to find some time to sleep.
Well, I just love the way that you present yourself. You're very professional. You're not a Fruit Loop. We need people like that. You know, we need people to come in and be serious and go, you know what? I want to figure this out. I'm serious about this and I want to figure it out. And then people respond to that because they're like, oh, it's refreshing, you know?
Yeah. I get some of the best, like, messages and comments and stuff, and then I get some of the worst ones too.
Oh yeah.
Yeah, but
you have to have a thick skin.
The community has really I never thought people would actually want to hear what I had to say. I started my YouTube channel in a bathrobe on the couch with my dogs and it was just talking about this new Q thing, and people stuck around for some reason, and it's just been this growth and excitement ever since. And, you know, my positivity and my optimism based on what's happening with Trump and Q, I think are really why people want to hear me. I don't know.
That's just so great. Yeah. I know when I first started, I'm like, okay, everybody, I got zero subscribers. Could you please subscribe to me? Cause it's kind of embarrassing to have zero. And then I had 10. You have to start somewhere.
Yeah. It's exponential. I tell people that don't know anything about my channel, like, it's not me. There's just a huge demand for truth out there.
Yes, I would agree with you. And truth done in a authentic way where you're really you're doing your best to bring in a smart, intelligent way, bring the truth out, because the mass media is doing, they're doing such a disservice to humanity.
Mm-hmm. And don't do the Alex Jones scream at the camera and interrupt your guests thing, because then no one will take you seriously. But
He was the first. That was the thing.
He was the only for a while, I guess.
Yeah. Well, okay. Well, thank you so much. You'll stick around for my patrons?
Yeah, sure.
And well, tell us where we can find you.
I'm my second channel on YouTube, because the first one was banned. So it's Dustin with a space, Nemos, and then two. My Twitter is at NemoV8, and my website is DustinNemos.com.
Excellent. Thank you so much.
Thank you, Sarah.